Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and start this morning in a psalm, Psalm 51. this is a psalm where King David is really just crying out to God because of sin that he had committed, and he's just trying to get his heart right and get his heart clear. And this is his prayer. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you've broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." This is a powerful prayer, a powerful heart cry to God. And the thing that I so appreciate about the way King David expresses his heart here is you can tell that this is not a situation where, I did something wrong and now I got to confess it and get it right. You can tell that King David doesn't just want to be forgiven. He wants to be back in right relationship and fellowship with God. He wants his joy back. He wants that right spirit back. He wants that wholehearted walk with the Lord back again, that generous spirit. So his heart here in asking, "Create in me a clean heart," is to restore something, to forgive, yes, but also to restore something that he lost. He lost a certain fellowship, a certain confidence that he had in his walk with God. And this morning, I really want to minister along the lines of a clean slate, okay? Because a lot of us, we all have maybe you'd have different resolutions that you have this year, different things that you're purposing to get cleared and think, you know, some paths that you want to take, some new directions, different things like that. And those are all good. It's good. The scripture even says, you know, make a straight path for your feet. And this can be a great time to do it in a new year to mark out a straight path. But it's important that whatever path that is, whatever those new consecrations, commitments, things that we want to do this year, that we do them from a clean slate. In other words, that board could have a bunch of little scribbles of junk and garbage and things like that on there, and we've kind of got our resolution written over the top of all those things to try to get those cleared away. Our resolutions can't clean our slate. We're going to start a new year with new resolutions from a clean slate. And this is a message that I just want us to be able to take and say, okay, God did the heavy lifting in Christ in so many ways so that I can walk out this new path with grace and peace and wisdom. But again, I'm not going to put the cart before the horse and try to do this stuff to create in me something that only the blood of Jesus and the mercy and the grace and the love of God can do. So I will write that new path on a clean slate. But this morning, what I want to do in our hearts and our minds is get that slate clean and clear. In fact, this message is not only good for now as you're beginning a new resolution, but maybe 13 days from now when something gets off track, You can come back. Clean slate. It's not failure. I'm going to have to wait again until next year and try it again. No. You can clean slate. This is a message for whatever your resolution is. So whatever that is, you're going to start it from a clean slate. And if there's any missteps, you can clean the slate again. We're going to just find out the grace and the mercy of God, his faithfulness to us. So as we're talking about a clean slate this year, we're going to just take a look at a few aspects of what this looks like and how it works. The first thing is there's a real cleansing. It's so nice to be able to start the new year with communion because it is just a fresh reminder of God's love and forgiveness for us. And as we look at it, we see here God's promise to cleanse us. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Hebrews says, how much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So here we see a tremendous promise in the Word of God for cleansing. And I love how it starts out. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we don't practice the truth. Now you can see the heart of King David. It was like, you know, he was walking in darkness, he realized it, and he wanted to get it right. He wanted forgiveness, and you see, he says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, you can walk in darkness and say you have fellowship, but you're lying about it. And when you're lying about it, you don't experience the fruit of fellowship with God. When you live on top of sin and you're not actually fellowshipping with God, you're not getting things from him. You're not hearing what he's saying. You're not experiencing the grace of God. You're not experiencing the being led by the Spirit. What happens when we get off into this place kind of religiously is where our theology is still there. We know God loves us. He's forgiven us. But in real life, we're just guessing. We're hoping. We're feeling. But when you get back into fellowship with God and your heart is clear, now I'm hearing from God again. Now I can hear, you know, so you can see again, King David didn't want to just be technically forgiven. He wanted fellowship. He wanted to get back in that place where he's walking with God, hearing from God again. And so this is the promise that we have, that if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Cleanse us from wickedness? Me and you? Wickedness? Yes. Wickedness. The flesh, the world, the devil, the things that can pollute our mind, that can pollute our soul, our conscience. You see these windows, they're beautiful, they're nice, they're clean, right? But if you were to throw mud on them, they'd be dirty. Now, you don't have to throw the window away. All you got to do is clean the window. And your soul is a lot like that. When your soul gets polluted with flesh stuff, you can't see out. You just see the dirt. And it's like, this is me, this is who, no, it's not who you are. You just need to be cleansed. You're still a creation, clean window. That's who you are. You just need your conscience cleansed from the dead works. And there's only one thing that can cleanse our conscience. It's coming back to that place, oh, create in me a clean heart. Lord, I confess. And I receive two things. I receive forgiveness for my sin, and I receive the cleansing of that unrighteousness. I'm still intact. I'm still a new creation. And so now things look different. Now when that conscience is cleansed, I can see things that I couldn't see before. I can walk in a fellowship with God. There's a transparency that I can have with God and him with me. Again, the mud, the dirt, it creates an isolation. It creates a guessing. I don't even know what's on the other side there. I'm just guessing. I might be hearing some things, but that cleansing is what restores the fellowship with God. It makes everything right. It makes everything perfect. And I look, when I think about this, I like to bring in this scripture because it's really the inflection point of what we were even, you know, coming back to this morning with the Lord's table. This is at the point where Jesus makes the ultimate decision that he's going to go through with it. He's in Gethsemane, and it says he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And I remember, you know, sometimes we can play hard to get with receiving our forgiveness and cleansing, and I just remember the Lord just giving me a vivid picture of Jesus on the cross, bloodied. And, you know, he just spoke. You know, you can kind of get an image and then a word that'll come with that, the way the Holy Spirit will communicate sometimes. And I just saw that picture of the bloody Jesus on the cross and the Lord just saying, Ed, what I did was enough. Receive your forgiveness. Receive your cleansing. This is an event that really happened. Jesus really took the punishment for our sin. Our sin was laid upon him. It's not just a spiritual theory or concept, but sometimes we got to go back to that place and remember, he did it. He paid the price. He paid the price for my sin. You know, it's hard sometimes because we know what it's like on the other side. When somebody does something wrong to us or treats us wrong and it hurts and there's a pain of injustice there, there's a pain that something's not right there. Well, in our own heart, we feel that with God too. We feel our own sense of, I said I wouldn't, I know better, and I still did it, and I was wrong, that there's an injustice there. And when he paid that price, he didn't just forgive us, he justified us. He cleansed us from unrighteousness. He paid the debt of sin. He satisfied it. And when I receive that forgiveness, I receive that cleansing, because it's not that the sin is just forgotten about. It was paid for in Christ. So when I'm receiving that forgiveness and cleansing, I'm remembering Jesus paid for my sins. When we lift up that cup, there's a currency that can pay that debt, that only that debt can pay. That's why Jesus said, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. It wasn't possible because there's nothing we can do. There is no New Year's consecration that we can make that can take the place of what Jesus did on the cross. We got to come back to the cross for the clean slate. We got to come back to this place because the price was paid. So there's a cleansing. There's a receive that we receive the forgiveness. And a lot of times when I'm praying that, I'll pray that on purpose. I'll say, Father, I'll confess it. Father, I said it. I did it. It was wrong. Now, I receive forgiveness and I receive cleansing from that unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, does that mean that I'm just feeling bubbly and warm instantaneously all the time? No, I'm not. I'm not walking by my feelings. I'm walking by faith. I'm doing what God has said to do in his word. I'm telling you what, when we begin to learn to walk by faith and live by faith and we don't need a feeling for validation, man, that's when things begin to really get traction in your life spiritually. And that's what kind of brings us to the next point here too. Not only is there cleansing, but there is a confidence that is brought through this. Again, we're not talking about feeling. Talking about a cleansing, we're talking about a confidence. John puts it this way: if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. New Living says, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and knows everything. Whenever our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God is much greater and more merciful than our conscience. And he knows everything there is to know about us. And so here is this inflection point, again, where we're feeling something, but we have our confidence toward God. So when he says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Why is God greater than our heart? Because his blood is greater than our sin. Because his blood can cleanse our conscience from those dead works. That's why. You think, what's greater than my heart? The mercy of God is greater than your heart. Because he can cleanse your heart. It can restore your heart. And it's a very vulnerable feeling when you've missed it and when you failed. And yes, again, praise God for New Year's resolutions. I've got some resolutions of my own. But they can't take the place of this. I'm not doing those resolutions to restore confidence to our God. That can only come from the clean slate of the blood of Jesus Christ. I stand in nothing less except the grace of God. It's nothing less except the grace of God by which I stand in Jesus. I love that old Keith Green song. You know, it is the grace of God. I'm found in him. It's not anything of my own. There is a restoration that I experience of confidence that comes from him. I love the picture that we get of this. This is an Old Testament example of Isaiah. It says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and touched my mouth with it, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Wow, that's quite a change. He goes from, "Woe is me, I am undone," to, "I'm here, I'm your guy, I can do it." But something happened in between those two things. Did Isaiah do anything great for God? Did he fulfill a resolution or a consecration? No. There's only one thing that happened. His lips were touched, and his sin was taken away. And you can see a man going from extreme shame and embarrassment to extreme confidence. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does when it cleanses our conscience from those dead works. This is because God's greater than our heart. You can see Isaiah's heart in verse 5, and you can see the greaterness of God with that coal. And then you can see the confidence that he has toward God in verse 8 there. "Here I am, send me." That's what the blood of Jesus Christ will do. It'll cause us to say, "Okay, Lord, here we go. My trust is in you. And yes, I'm a work in progress. And yes, I'm learning stuff. But here we go. I've got confidence that comes from your forgiveness, that comes from your blood. That's it. That's the end of it. Whether I feel it or whether I don't feel it, it's very secondary. My trust, my confidence is in you. It's in what you said. It's in what you said that you would do and your faithfulness." And I love so much how 1 John 1:9 is written. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. It's not just that one time. He is faithful every time, anytime. And you know, another song that I think of that I think is such a powerful song in our day is Matthew West's song, "The God Who Stays." You know, if I were you, I would have given up on me by now. I would have labeled me a lost cause because I feel just like a lost cause. You know, if I were you, I would have given up and turned away. But you're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. When the whole world walks away, you come in my direction. There is a heart of God that you learn as a believer through the years, the faithfulness of God. You can learn the theology of it, but through the years, when you prove him or, you learn his faithfulness. You learn that it's true. And there is a clean slate that comes from the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You realize that your consecration has value. There's a fruitfulness. There's things that it can gain, but there's something that it can't do that only the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ can do, and that is cleanse you and restore your confidence toward God. What does that mean? Not only by faith do I receive forgiveness and cleansing, I can by faith say, "Okay, Lord, now what? Now what do you want to do? Let's go. Let's get back up." I love how, you know, even that Hebrews is written. It says, "Who through the eternal Spirit offered him without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to get back up and serve the living God." In other words, he doesn't just cleanse your conscience so you feel good. He cleanses your conscience so you can pick up where you left off and do the things that you want to do with God. How many times has that enemy lied to people and said it's too late? And people just stopped or just went off into the world because the father of lies convinced them that it was too late. It's not too late. It's not too late for whatever it is, whatever dream, whatever God has put in your heart. It's not too late. You can get back up and you can serve the living God. You can say, "Here I am, send me." whatever that thing is. And I'm so glad that we've got such a good example too, even as we look at, and this is kind of what I want to, the final point here is clarity. You begin to see that, oh man, when God begins to show you things, he begins to reveal things to you, it's powerful. Now, this is the Apostle Paul correcting a church in Corinth, and they had gone astray on some things. As a church, collectively, they kind of got off. And he's writing to them and said, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I don't regret it, though I did regret it. Nobody ever wants to have to, you know, communicate corrective news. For I perceive that in the same epistle that made you sorry, though only for a while, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you are made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication, in all things you've proved yourself to be clear in this matter. When you honestly come face to face, and even like, and again, I love that psalm where King David just takes that and he says, I want to be thorough, I want to be clear, I'm putting it on the table, there is no wiggle room here, I want to be back, I want to be full, I want to be walking with you, I want to renew that right spirit, let's go. You see the Corinthian church coming to that same inflection point. They were going off in a direction, and then when they got corrected by Paul in that letter, man, there was a clearing. They came face to face with the thing. You know, you can live on top of sin and you can make excuses for it, and it just kind of has a dull effect on your spirit, on your mind, on your direction. But when you just take that thing and say, nope, that's it. I'm not afraid of it. You know, the enemy a lot of times will make you afraid to confront sin for whatever reason. He'll make you afraid to confront things and feel like, nope, there will be consequences in confronting it that'll be far worse than if you just keep on with what you're doing. He's a liar. You always can confront anything before God. He is merciful. He is gracious. And when that thing gets cleared out of your spirit, there's a clearing of yourself. There's a clarity. There's a path forward. Praise God. You know, there is a cleansing, there's a confidence, but there is a clarity. There is like, okay, let's go on. This is where the New Year's resolution stuff comes in. This is where, okay, now what are we going to do? Okay, let's mark out some straight paths. But there, instead of me running away and living kind of all, nope, there's a confidence and there's a path forward. You can see the confidence. That's strong language, you know? Clearing, indignation. You know, when you've been oppressed, I remember hearing the story of the little girl and her brother where they visited their grandma, and the little boy had a slingshot, and he was testing it out, and he was in the backyard, and he accidentally shot, and, you know, aimed at grandma's duck. He thought, I could never hit him, you know, it was so far away. Bang, hits the duck, duck dies, and, you know, it's a deal where grandma sees, you know, the duck died, and of course, the little boy isn't fessing up, but now his sister saw everything that happened, and grandma's, you know, obviously, her duck has died, and the little boy feels horrible. He feels bad, and he's like, and then his sister again. She knows, she gets it, and kind of as the little story unfolds, you know, they're having dinner and they're having to clean dishes, and grandma asks the sister to help her clean the dishes, and she said no. She said, you know what? Johnny told me he wants to clean the dishes tonight, and she looked at him and said, remember that? And he goes, yeah, Grandma, I want to clean the dishes. That's right. And so then he's cleaning the dishes, you know. And then it's another little deal where, you know, take Johnny out and just have some fun with him. And Susie, you know, says, you know, Johnny is actually going to be busy. He was going to do some things to help me out. So I think, you know, it might be better if I kind of went with you this time. And Johnny's like, yeah, I'm going to be busy. I've got some things that I got to do. And, you know, she's saying, remember the duck. And so it's like she owns him because she knows something. And there can be this subtle form of almost blackmail. And I'll bring it back to where we live, a spiritual blackmail. I can't come clean on some things, because if people knew, then it, so I've always got to live on top of this secret. There's some things I've always got to live on top of. Man, there is nothing that you can't come clear first and foremost. Now, obviously, there would be some people that you would tell, and they could be have bad motives and hearts and do wrong things. You use wisdom. I'm not saying you just let everybody know everything about you that's going on in your life. But when it comes to God, there's nothing that we need to be hiding from God. In fact, honesty and clarity is going to start with God. It's going to start with, okay, Father, here is this. I have done this wrong. Father, show me what to do about it. Give me your wisdom. But I get this clear before you, Lord. I'm not hiding this from you. Here's the whole ugly truth of it. Clean slate this year. Nothing in the junk drawer of my heart. Completely out before you. Now, depending on the nature of it, that's when you can say, Lord, give me wisdom. If there are people that I can share this with, if there is wisdom that I need guidance and direction with, but first and foremost, against you have I sinned, and I'm getting my heart clear with you, 100%. And there is nothing. There's no remember the duck, because that's what the enemy does. The enemy is doing remember the duck in the back of your head. It's like, I can't ever quite fully get clear. Yes, you can get fully clear. You can get everything off that blackboard. There doesn't have to be even a little squiggle on there controlling anything. Clean, clear, a clear heart, refreshed. And also, it's important when we're talking about this not to confuse clarity, cleansing, confidence with perfection. It's not. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So Paul was righteous in Christ, but he wasn't perfect. He knew that. He knew that he was still growing. But he wasn't letting the enemy say, remember the duck. No. If there's any cause to remember the duck, I remember the cross. I remember the blood. I ponder that word. I treasure that word. I think deeply about that word. And I let that word win the day. I let that word win the day, not condemnation. My righteousness isn't through obedience. My righteousness is through faith in Christ Jesus. It is a gift. I'm not perfect. I like to say a lot of times, if I'm doing anything right, there's a path of the mercy and the grace of God that stayed with me till I got it right. In other words, he stays with me. He is the God who stays. He is merciful. I love that word this morning, just the love of God. That's going to sustain you, but you're clean now through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are clean. Through the words that he's spoken to us, those words of the gospel, redemption. So we see that even though, you know, we're a work in progress, we are righteous, we still realize that there is a pressing on that I may lay hold of that. So I'm moving in that direction. I'm going in that direction. I love how, here's a couple scriptures put together. In Micah and Philippians, you will not stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing unfailing love. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. Paul, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I love the little joke that puts it this way. God is the one who can throw your sins into the ocean of, or the sea of forgetfulness, but you're the one who has to put up the no fishing sign. All right? You're the one who has to actively forget those things which are behind. Right? In other words, he's not holding them against you. God isn't saying, remember the duck, so who cares? Right? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? And going back to that and saying, you know what? I'm going to start out this new year clean. I'm starting out this new year forgiven, restored, whole. There's nothing in the junk drawer. There's nothing in any drawer. My heart is whole. toward God this year. That board is clean so that I can put some fresh consecrations on there to serve him thereby. But I'm already clean because of his grace. I'm already clean because of his mercy. And I know that he is not condemning me. He's not putting those things of condemnation in my heart. Hebrews 12 puts it this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands. Strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. So here's where we are. This is where we take that grip. This is where we mark out that path. This is where we say, okay, Lord, here we go. 2025, bring it on. I'm starting out this year clean. I'm starting out this year with confidence toward God. I'm starting out this year with clarity that I'm putting these guidelines, these Holy Spirit-led, fresh consecrations to God, you know, with a heart that's already right in his sight. So that's what I really wanted to minister this morning, simply just a clean slate, just getting our heart right, not trying to make our consecration do what only the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ can do. Just get a fresh, you know, stirring up in the grace of God. You know, we kind of alluded to it already, but, you know, Christmas Eve, we talked about how Mary pondered things in her heart. She treasured things. And that word things is the word rhema. It's the spoken word of God. And that's what we can do this new year, too. Like Mary, we can ponder just the truth. Treasure the truth that he really cleanses from all unrighteousness. And that he really restores our confidence toward God. And that he gives us clarity. We don't have to be perfect. But he's the God who stays. He's not condemning us. There is no condemnation coming from him. And I just love that how Romans 8 states that. Who is he who condemns? It is God who justifies. Let's go into this new year justified by God. No ducks in our minds whatsoever, but just the grace of God in our mind, just the friendly, wonderful, great high priest. Not only do we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, but we overcome with a sympathetic high priest who has a shared feeling with what we're going through. That's pretty wonderful to know. Whatever that umpteenth time might be, that he has a shared feeling with what it is. There's a compassion, there's an understanding, but there's a trajectory of victory in whatever that is. Because he cleanses, he restores, and we're pressing for the mark of the upward call of God that's in Christ. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can start this year, 2025, with a fresh, clean slate. Fresh and clean, Lord, by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this new year. I ponder your words, your mercy and grace that can cleanse and forgive me, that can restore my conscience to serve you. You can clean the window of this new creation so I can see clearly, so I can fellowship, express my heart, get things by your Spirit. I want to walk with you, Lord. Everything that I do from a clear heart because you loved me and took upon yourself, Jesus, all my sin. Anything that I'm beating myself up, you took it so I can be forgiven, so I can be cleansed, so I can have confidence and clarity this new year. I will walk in the will of God. I will do the good things that you have for me this year. Thank you, Father, for your cleansing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Just a fresh word of a reminder of stuff we know, but things that we need to think about deeply, that we need to treasure, that we need to keep before us as we enter a new year. And just really appreciate again. You know, the truth is we love because he first loved us. We live for him because he first lived for us. And there's nothing more motivating about living for Him than getting His first love again before our heart, before our mind. Praise God.